Welcome to the September 7th Laughing Place Podcast, eh? My name is Doobie, and with me today are Fanboy.
Hello.
Cap'n John.
Ahoy.
And the lovely and talented Canadian Rebecca.
I'm not Canadian.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Eh?
Nope, I'm Canadian here.
Big I'm Sandy, Canada?
More Canadian
Captain
than all of you.
Lived there for a little bit.
That's right, Captain spent some time up in the beautiful, sunny Montreal, right?
Sunny, I don't know.
You know, the new movie says that it's not always snowing there. Is that true?
Yeah, but when it does, it snows.
Really? In 360?
In 360, yeah.
All around.
In 3D, even.
Ooh. Oh, they had big bucks up there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Podcast at laughingplace.com.
That's the way that Tokyo, Canada will be shown in Tokyo.
Canada in 3D.
866-718-9408. Let us know what's on your mind regarding anything you hear today on the fabulous show coming to your ears right now.
No, apparently not. It would have to be, if they're listening to this, it might have to be at least like an hour after this.
Touche. Podcast at laughingplace.com. 866-718-9408. Or make a post on the discussion boards. Let's jump right into the pool today. New O Canada film at Epcot. We've all been waiting eagerly for the replacement of, how old is that original show? 1980? Took all the way back? 82. And finally, the Canada has come up with the Toonies. Loonies?
Wolf.
Come up with the dough to get the show changed. We all got a chance to see it, some of us in person, some of us via the wonder that is the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Captain, what was your opinion of the new O Canada starring Canadian superstar comedian Martin Short?
I thought it was a nice improvement. Sort of half of it was actually new, whereas, you know, they still had old footage in there, but whatever. No, but it still managed to stay informative, yet it's an improvement because it's not as boring as the other one was. I mean, you know, Canada could be pretty and all, but when you're at a theme park, you want something a little bit more peppy. And I think this does it well. Though I think the beginning and the very ending, we're sort of overdoing that a little bit.
A little bit too much Martin?
Too much, I don't know, weird.
He could stand to be shorter, is what you're saying. Rebecca, what'd you think?
I agree with the captain that it added some energy. That was nice, because I think before it was rather sedate. I mean, even the fact of just the song. I know that you're disappointed, Doobie, that they changed the song, because that was like perfection to you, but for me, it was melancholy and kind of eh. And now I like this song, so
yeah,
I was happy about
it. It's the same song. But
yeah, but it's...
Well, I mean, it's more
totally,
it's more modern.
Yeah, but it feels different. Before, it was almost, I don't know, reflective and melancholy. Right. Now it's kind of celebratory.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's got to update it for the times, you know?
You being the only one of us, Captain, that's lived in Canada, did it represent your country well, eh?
Does it represent... Okay. Okay. For one thing, you don't go around hearing A all the time.
Seriously? Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you don't hear A everywhere.
We've spent some time with Canadians. They actually do say it quite a bit.
I believe it, but it's not like you say, you see the people walking down the street and they're all like, A, 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 A.
No, it's not Smurf language.
Fanboy.
Well, you know, I can't even remember what the old film was about, but this one at
now
least
that,
seemed to
now
have...
That, it was a, now that is true.
It was an intricate process, I remember that.
but this one at least seemed to have some, like, have a linear... I don't want to say storyline, because it's not that, but in the broader sense of the term, in that you felt like you were on a journey, as opposed to the old one where you just sort of felt like a travelogue. Well, it still is a travelogue, but this one at least seemed to have purpose.
Well, it also gave you the impression that there was more to Canada than beauty and rustic elements. And
yeah,
that was nice. I mean, because before, pretty much wasn't it like, oh, wow, that's really pretty. Oh, look, they're sledding down a hill. Oh, there's a cowboy dude.
Yeah, because I think with this version we learned, in addition to beauty and rustic, there's a lot of celebrities in Canada.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Martin Short.
One of the things they do in the film is show not all of them, because there are quite a few, but show quite a few famous Canadians who, you know, America has kind of taken
it. You know who is missing? Or at least I didn't see. I mean, granted, it's hard to look around 360. No,
he was there.
Okay. Wait, don't tell me. Jim Carrey?
No,
he was
there
too.
Joe Carter, who hit the winning home run in the World Series.
No. And the star of The Universe of Energy, Alex Trebek.
He's Canadian.
Mm-hmm. Was Carl Mockery in it?
In fact, I hear the Canadians taking over Epcot.
Did you know that he has his hands in concrete at Disney MGM, soon to be Disney Hollywood Studios?
Yeah, because they filmed Jeopardy there, and when they did Star of the Day.
And he put his name in the form of a question, as I recall.
Oh, that's funny.
There's a question on it. Who is Alex Trebek? It was very cute.
30 years from now, people are going to be...
It's by Beauty and the Beast Theater. It was very funny because a guest was asking the cast member if it was real. And the cast member answered him, yeah, it's real. But he seemed to not believe them. Like, it was like that classic Disney speak of, okay, I get that it's real, but is it really real? Or is it kind of that Disney real? It was a fun conversation to watch occur.
I haven't seen the Alex Trebek walk around in quite a while. I hear he's...
I hear they doubled the cost of him in the after Millionaire, and they needed to raise the point value. Now he starts off at 200 and goes all the way to 2,000.
Well, you know, it's not very helpful when you ask him a question because, you know.
He's just going to kick you out the game.
Yeah.
Dude, I remember the one time I met him and I forgot to introduce myself in the form of a question. Didn't count.
He must get that a lot.
And a lot of you think, like, when he's waiting to order at McDonald's, the waiter goes, or not the waiter, the
food host. You go to.
The big fancy one on 192. Yeah. They goes, doo, 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 doo.
Anyway, Canada, we all agree, though, that this is a step up. Wait, I didn't give my opinion. I like it. I hate Martin Short, yet I liked him in this. I hate, that's such a strong word. But
You usually turn the channel as soon as you see him.
Oh, yeah.
You dislike him.
I dislike him intensely. As far as comedian, I hear he's actually a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as his shtick, it does not stick with me too well. But he was good in this. He's actually quite entertaining. And as Rebecca said, the original O Canada or whatever it's called, it's like my absolute favorite theme park song. And this one is nowhere near as good. But it works in the film, and I think it's a nice improvement for Epcot.
I kept waiting to find out where babies come from, though.
Now, what was his first thing over in what's now the Sounds Dangerous Theater?
Oh, Monster Sound Show of Chevy Chase, another stellar comedian.
Better than Martin Short. So, and mostly I'm glad they didn't put any characters in there, because, I mean, he's quite a character, that Martin Short. But I'm glad they did not go the El Rio route.
Well, what characters are from Canada?
Brett and Tuke.
Yeah, the whole Brother Bear thing could be done if, man, if that movie was a hit, they may have.
But you were disappointed by some of the jokes in it.
There's some, what's it called? Not self-referential, but there's stuff that references Epcot, like, you know, I got to use my Soarin' Fast Pass.
Meta-references,
sure. And the one that really bugged me in the beginning were there's this narrator that starts it, and then when Martin Short comes on, the narrator goes, I'll go to the France Pavilion where an off-screen narrator is appreciated or something. That really does not work for me. I don't know. It just seems so unnecessary, and not that everyone goes to Epcot in Canada millions of times, but it seems like after the first time, it just becomes painful. It will just become painful to hear. It's not that funny. What's the point?
To let people know that there's something to go see in France.
Okay, if that's the point, then I'll give them.
No, seriously, it was funny. When I heard that, I was like, oh, wow, I wonder how many people will go, oh, okay, you know, and actually go look for the France movie. Because when you walk by France, you know, it's pretty, but you may not actually, you know, that's go true. In and really explore it. So now you know there's a film to see.
Especially if you don't speak French, because the sign for that movie is in French. Impressions de France.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, Canada is actually in French, too.
Oui. And El Rio, or are all the Maelstrom? No, the Chinese movie is not in Chinese. Definitely not. Cool. Well, glad to hear that. From looking at the boards, it looks like most people there also were quite pleased with mm-hmm. the film. There were some people who agreed with me and maybe us that the comedy in it was just a little too much, but an improvement.
I don't think it was too much. I mean, it was
in that it wasn't funny, or
in that it wasn't overkill. I mean, you got to. You know, they had. If you're going to have Martin Short, you got to have some comedy. And
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Well, I mean, that's the perception. If they had Martin Short do it straight, people would.
But I don't think people had problems with the comedy. I think they had. I think the complaints people have are regarding two very specific instances of in-park humor being brought into it that I think they don't think will play out well repeatedly.
Yeah, but I think day guests appreciate in-park humor more than Disney fans.
Oh, I agree with you. I thought it was funny, and I got a kick out of it, and I I don't have a problem with it, but there, I can see how others would.
There's a bit in the middle when they're showing the old hockey footage of the kids playing hockey.
Oh, that was
and
so cute.
Martin Short talks about how he's glad his – spoiler alert, he's glad his Austria – he's glad his parents had a circle vision camera to capture him playing. That had me laughing hard. I like that one. So.
Mm-hmm. See, I didn't get it because my parents actually did have a circle vision camera.
Yeah, I know they did. Mr. Server at McDonald's. Continuing on the Epcot theme, Spirit of 74, one of our posters on the laughingplace.com discussion boards, posted some interesting rumors about stuff happening with Epcot's 25th anniversary. We all know that recently Epcot has decided to, or Disney has decided to celebrate the anniversary with some sort of event on October 1st, which is the actual day, and they've removed the
wand
from Spaceship Earth, which I guess is a way to celebrate the anniversary,
and
taking
the stars
it back to its original state. Mm-hmm. His post says that the event on the 1st is set to, may include Bob Iger, who's the CEO of Disney, and Marty Sklar, who's a long, long, long time Imagineer. And he says even John Lasseter would like to be there. He says that he's heard that in addition to the wand removal, they're talking about taking out the, what do you call that stuff in front of Spaceship Earth?
Millennium Central Shade?
No, not that. That too, but the stuff on the other
side. Leave a Legacy?
Leave a Legacy.
Here it's open 9 to 9 every day.
one of the few future world attractions you can experience after 7 p.m. And he's also, I'm not sure he says it, and looking at this post, I don't see him say it, but I do know that later on in the thread, there's also a rumor that Epcot's name, according to this thread, will be switched to what it was on day one, Epcot Center. So that was what it was on day one, right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Wasn't Epcot 82 back then?
No.
Epcot V1.0. So, of course, we don't know if these rumors are true or not. Well, it's so funny.
Remember when January, when they released Epcot 1.0 Service Pack 1?
Canada didn't want to load it.
Yeah.
So, we're just Disney yahoos. We don't know if these rumors are true or not, but we do know if they're good or not, and that's what we're going to discuss. What's your thoughts on this, Captain?
Does changing the name back really do anything for anybody? I mean, I'm sure, you know, the frequent visitors would be like, you know, it's sort of nostalgia, I guess, but does it really, it's like, wow, it feels so different now that we added an extra word to the end of the name.
There's so many people who don't even know it changed to begin with.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I see three benefits to it. One, most of Central Florida doesn't know it's not called that right now. Two, this seems to be the year of theme park name changes. And three, it continues a tradition.
I thought this was the year of a million dreams.
And that's apparently one of them. Yeah, touche. And three, it continues the Epcot tradition of being the most differently named theme park in Disney history. So it makes sense to me.
If they do it now, at least they'll save money on the reprinting all the signs, because then they don't have to go to the TTC and replace it once with Disney's Hollywood Studios and then replace it again with Epcot Center.
Do they really need to replace the signs? Can't they just add Center onto the end? Like they were talking about Dale Earnhardt Jr. would just be 81, so you can just put a 1 on the end.
Of your tattoo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just put a Center on the end of all the signs. No?
No.
Sign Shop won't go for that?
It's not Sign Shop, WDI. I don't care, honestly. I mean, it's not like they're drastically changing the name. It's still Epcot Center. I bet you when they called it Epcot Center, everyone called it Epcot. And when they started calling it Epcot, everyone started calling it Epcot Center. So it doesn't really matter in the scheme of the universe. I mean, I don't like the current logo too much.
The sea eating the world?
I like to say the sea orbiting the globe.
No, it's eating the world.
No,
Munching.
But, you know, so, I mean, and I like the sort of old logos they used to use for all the different pavilions. I thought that was cool. So if they bring that back. But, you know, in the end, it's just, you know, what scares me is not necessarily Epcot going back to 1982, but that we just become so nostalgic that we don't change things and naturally evolve them. I mean, Grant, you could say that the evolution of Epcot would be to evolutionize back, but just because it was that way on opening day does not mean it was the right way. I mean, I don't want people to make decisions based off nostalgia.
Well, I mean, that's the one thing that is sort of bizarre, that out of all the things they could be, you know, deciding to fix or whatnot, they're just changing the name for some reason. It just seems like something really random.
But I think if they do it, I think that they're smart enough to do it as part of a rebirthing. So I think it would be in a line with the other things that he mentions here. Spirit of 74 says that it's not so much their specific things that are gone that they want to bring back or attractions. It's more of the attitude to bring back that special vibe and energy that made Epcot the place people wanted to go and be at. And I think if you took a name change and used that marketing along with whatever it was that you were doing to kind of bring back that energy. I mean, I remember there was that really, I mean, I don't know, maybe this isn't what Spirit of 74 is talking about, but for me, that weird bell choral thing that they used to have with the musicians out in Future World. And it was just a really interesting music. And then there were lots of just unusual things that you could experience and explore at Epcot. And I mean, and I know it's harder and harder because technology changes so rapidly now. I think it's a more difficult idea to keep, you know, ahead of the curve. But just the fact of the segue, you know, at Interventions, that you can go to Epcot and you can ride a set for free. They don't charge you anything. You just have to wait in the line just like you would any other attraction. And then you get to ride on a Segway for a little while. I mean, that's really cool.
But can you is changing the name enough? I mean, they're taking down the wand, which, I mean, I know people are excited about, but it's not the biggest deal in the world. And that it's not a new attraction. It's not a new experience. It's just taking down a wand. If changing the name, is that really going to revolutionize something if you don't build something, a new attraction or a new show or new anything? I mean, Disney MGM Studios, coming to Disney's Hollywood Studios, at least has a slate of announced and not yet announced attractions that are supplementing the name change, new identity, whereas Epcot just changing its name is – there's no – if I go there October 2nd, there's nothing different than if I went there September 29th.
Let me ask you a question, fanboy, because these changes, which are – by all accounts, relatively minor changes seem to really satisfy, to a large extent, the Disney fanatics. They're like, wow, Epcot is going in the right direction with what they're doing. And yet they're not, as you said, there's nothing new announced other than, you know, some relatively minor changes to Spaceship Earth. There's no way that's on the mind of Disney, is there?
Well, I think you have Jim McPhee, who's vice president of Epcot, who's been there a long time, and the new general manager for operations, whose name's escaping me. He's been there 2 weeks. He's been with the company for 25 years as well. So they definitely have a longer history. So I think that plays a part to it in that they understand they were there when Epcot opened, so they understand what Epcot was supposed to be. But at the same time, there's a reason they didn't. It's not like Epcot was hugely successful and then they just decided to change it. There was a reason it changed. So let's not go back and make the mistakes we made 25 years ago and say, you know what, Epcot characters don't belong here. Let's just kick them out, because that's what classic Epcot should be. And that's where my concern is. You know,
right.
The Epcot of opening day was not a success. So let's not. I mean, we might enjoy it as Disney fans, but that's not Disney, that should not be at the forefront of Disney's mind.
And I don't think it is. I don't think it is at all. But I don't think there's the changes that I see them doing, I don't think is a desire to grab the old Epcot. I think it's a desire to correct a path that I think that they didn't agree with and move Epcot in a new way. And yes, it may be to integrate some of the things from the past, but they're also moving forward. I mean, they're about to, and I disagree with you guys both about this, that there's not going to be a change between September 29th and October 2nd. They've announced the show kitchen changes in China, in Japan. You're getting a change in management over at Italy. You've also got they pulled down the wand. They changed the – I mean, and I know that externally that's like – I don't know, as far as your guest experience in a way, it's not that different, but it sends a different message and image about what the park is to not have that cartoony wand on top anymore. I mean, sure. It just does. You can't ignore it. And walking in and not having those, the cemetery, you know, if that really changes. I'm sorry, but it was kind of morbid. I don't, you know, I'm sure that's not what they were going for, but it ended up being, you know, kind of,
I just see
heavy.
I see it's the Son of Jarrell every time I walk in there.
And a lot of people do. But, I mean, I guess when they talk about the kind of stuff that's being talked about in here, I don't see them trying to – I don't see this as a let's go back to nostalgia. I see this as let's move forward, but not the way – it was going down this path over here. let's go this way instead, and let's show people that we're going this way by making these very visible, highly significant changes that aren't really going to be a big deal. I mean, as far as just in general. I mean, they are as far as just your image.
I agree with you that the people in running the park are not – they're not trying to go back. I just hope that the Disney community's analyzation of the changes doesn't let them up for some sort of heartbreak or, you know, or not seeing the true vision of where Epcot's being taken. I do not think that the leadership is trying to turn Epcot's clock back. I think they might take great ideas from the past and bring them, integrate them. I agree that they should take the wand down. I wouldn't even mind them calling it back Epcot Center. I think you got some issues with the Leave a Legacy because people paid for a certain length of time on that. I think most importantly, Disney should preserve its integrity by fulfilling that commitment. What I think it was like 25 years. So, I mean, I mean, if they want to pay it back the money, that's another thing they could do. But I don't think that they should just tear them down. But those dining changes were in fact before the new leadership came in, and all of those restaurants are operating participants anyway. I mean, granted, they have to partner with Epcot Food and Beverage, but Epcot's not going to get some brand new. Three new e-ticket attractions in the next 2 years. That's not where the money's going to go. You know, you just need to go to the annual report and see that. So, you know, they can do little things that change the identity. And Disney's very good at changing little things to make a bigger impact. But in the end, there's not going to be some marquee attraction that's going to change that redefines this new Epcot the way Toy Story Mania is going to redefine Disney's Hollywood Studios.
So, what is the future? DHS clearly has a direction. Does Epcot yet have a direction, or is it just waiting in the wings for its turn?
I think it's waiting in its wings for its money. There's probably a direction they want it to take between WDI and the theme park administration, but it's a cycle. Animal Kingdom got all of its money invested, you know, between Expedition Everest and the Nemo musical and the parade that's coming, and that was a focus. Then suddenly Disney's Hollywood Studios or MGM Studios, whatever you want to call it, you know, became a huge focus, and it's probably going to be there for 3 years. So I don't see Epcot. And Epcot just got Mission Space and Soarin'. It's not like it's been neglected.
Right.
I mean, Siemens luckily is helping pay for the Spaceship Earth rehab, and I think you will see changes at Epcot, but you're not going to see a change the way Epcot changed in 1994, going from Epcot Center to this sort of permanent World's Fair, which, you know, and, you know, a lot of those legacy pieces of Epcot are going to stay. You're going to still have Food and Wine. You're still going to have Flower and Garden. You're still going to have the atmosphere entertainment throughout World Showcase. But I would love to see, and maybe October 1st is the occasion to do it, but really putting out a message of where it's supposed to be, as opposed to just saying, we're going to take down the wand. We're going to change the name. I mean, and I don't even know if they're going to change the name. That's just a rumor at this point as well.
Although we definitely have seen, which doesn't mean anything as far as the name change, we have seen some Epcot Center merchandise, which I presumed was just a cool retro line.
All know that just that – and first of all, it's not the first time they put out Epcot Center merchandise. They did it, I think, about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead time on that merchandise is not – that merchandise has nothing to do with a name change. Do not see that merchandise and be like, oh, this is proof. I mean, if it happens, that's a coincidence. There's no way that merchandise was designed to support a name change. In fact, if you look at it, it's retro. It's not like a new shirt that says Epcot Center. It looks like it was made in 1982 and says Epcot Center.
Right, right. Very cool, actually. Reminds me of the old Houston Astros stuff.
Oh, yeah. Didn't they win the award for, like, ugliest jersey?
Absolutely. J.R. Richard, remember? Anyway, I just – going back to what I said earlier, I do think it's cool that Epcot has no major new attractions coming, the kind of stuff that the fans are always gaga over. And yet, because of these smaller things they are doing, they're keeping the fans at bay. I mean, that's great if Disney's able to do that, frankly.
I remember the Disneyland Resort expansion, and that was the excitement there was bigger than the sum of its parts. I know there were some naysayers out there to this day, but I mean, amongst people that really embraced that product, it was exciting versus just opening up a new theme park and hotel. But I like what they're doing with this thing. I just want people – I just don't want everyone to get suddenly too excited, or even Disney to see it and be like, oh, yeah, we should take it back to 1982 because it's very popular. And because I don't think Disney will do that, and I want people to understand Disney probably won't do that. Just because they took the wand down does not mean Disney is going to listen to our half-brained ideas.
I don't think they could if they wanted. I mean, yeah, if they wanted to, I guess, you know, they can do anything. But I mean, when you think about the realities of what they've done in bringing in Finding Nemo and bringing in Gran Fiesta, you can't just decide, oh, okay, well, you know what, we changed our mind, no characters. I mean, that would be, you would, you know,
I mean, that's a.
Oh, and the character connection
example.
Is huge.
Yeah, and they're never going to get rid of characters, but I'm just saying, we need to. Don't retrograde Epcot into something people don't like.
Yeah, but I don't think they will. And the Epcot Center thing, though, when we were talking about it in the car the other day, because I told you, whenever I hear the word center, I immediately think medical center. So therefore, naming a theme park something center is just unusual to me. It was unusual to me back then, and it still just rings odd. But you pointed out that you think of, like, Staples Center and,
right.
you know, places like that, TD Waterhouse Center,
my
stuff like
center.
That.
I mean, personally, I would
so,
love...
So, but I can totally see with the focus that Epcot has on being a place of events, because you have your Flower and Garden Festival that's so long now, your Food and Wine Festival that's so long now.
Don't they just dovetail into each other now?
Virtually. I mean, honestly, they've got this concert series in between them. Well, what's to stop them from figuring out something else to put around that? And now you've got kind of, you know, Epcot Center, the place where you go for your fun during the day and your music at night. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got the show kitchen element coming in there now. I can't imagine Illuminations is that much longer for this world. I mean, they've got to be. There's been rumors forever of new shows in the wings for that. No, but I just mean the rumors have been constant about that.
Right.
And so, you know.
DonDorsey.com.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, I'm just saying. So I can see them using. If this name change rumor is true, I could see them kind of maybe, you know, I can see it from that point of view. It makes sense to me in that way.
Personally, I'd love if they would just capitalize the letters again. I mean, I know it's not an experimental prototype Committee of Tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but I think it as being the experimental prototype Committee of Tomorrow center, it really brought in a history and legacy of what Walt Disney World really was supposed to be. And hopefully, you know, get pride in the folks at Epcot that is really what defines Walt Disney World, not the Magic Kingdom.
Fanboy, quick question. It seems to me, because of all the various festival-type things they go, that Epcot, in terms of percentage of guests on a given day or whatever, would be more the locals park than any of the others. Is that the case?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, it's measured by a different matrix than the other parks. The other parks are usually done on a like how many attractions do guests do in a given day, and that determines their park hours. But because of the dining and Illuminations and everything being such a – that and the merchandise, all that sort of becoming a separate entity in of itself, it really doesn't go by that. And that's why it's open 9 to 9 regardless of if there's 40,000 or 12,000
right.
people there, because it makes a killing off of dining. In fact, they recently did a test for extra magic hours where they did a second Illuminations with the hope being that people would stay, dine later at Epcot and stay for the second Illuminations. It didn't work out right because the restaurants didn't really stay open late enough. And, you know, that's a huge cost to underwrite.
Sure.
But it's a unique park. I think if it was built today, we would be so cynical. Look at, you know, there's nine attractions and 15 restaurants and hundreds of shops, yet.
And yet it is the fan favorite because it is unique and goes back to Walt's vision and everything. But you're so right. If it was built today, I think it'd be a laughingstock and fodder for all the fan sites. Rebecca, you mentioned something that I hadn't thought about, but with the show kitchens, and given that these are international restaurants, yeah, that's almost an attraction in and of itself. That's,
well,
obvious, but I'm stupid.
But for some people, just going, I mean, and I'm one of them, I love going through the little shops there and seeing all the knickknacks
sure.
from here, there, and everywhere. And I've bought quite a few things from here, there. I have perfume from Norway and that I love. I love my perfume that I get at the Norway Pavilion. I don't buy any other perfume anymore. I just buy it. And there's lots of people. You go to perfumeoutlet.com and you look up that perfume, and almost every post on there, the person says, I found this at World Showcase and regretted not purchasing it on my vacation and searched for it and found it here. You know, that kind of thing. You'll find it on websites. So, I mean, yeah, that I know it's a weird thing to think of.
No,
but,
it's not.
But
that's what makes Epcot.
I mean, not everybody's going to be a true global traveler. So, it gives them kind of that taste and a chance to kind of see beyond, you know, the comforts of home. Even try foods they probably never would eat.
Sure. Even the cast members at World Showcase are an attraction by the fact that they're from the native land. I mean, that again, it's an attraction.
Oh, that family from Texas was just going on and on about that when we were talking to them at Fantasmic the other night, going on and on about you know, how much fun they had talking to the various cast members and everything. So, I mean, Epcot to me is one of those parts where it really is kind of, I mean, I think Epcot in many ways is kind of what you give to it in a way. I mean, if you just want to go and hit the big things, Soarin', Test Track, Mission Space, and you're out of there, you know, or Illuminations, and you're out of there or something, you know, it's going to be a totally different park for you than if you kind of go and allow yourself to be in a World's Fair frame of mind where you kind of dip your toe in various places. Because, I mean, that's what, I've been to the World's Fair, and that's what we did there.
Well, and, you know, I think Epcot is definitely, I hate to say it, the last unique park Disney built. I mean, they've done unique things with old concepts. Disney MGM Studios is a Universal ripoff originally, and now it's like Magic Kingdom 2. Animal Kingdom is, I mean, it's an animal park. They've done things differently. They've done it Disney. It's better than most, if not all, but it's still an animal park.
Sure,
whereas Epcot sort of had this Future World, then they took World Showcase, which was supposed to be someplace over by the TTC, and then put it together and ended up with a theme park kind of thing. And it's unique. And I think as we built other theme parks, you start to see, and the people compare it to a theme park. That's when it got in trouble in the 90s, in that it doesn't have those big things. People do not take it at a slower pace. So they had to create KidCot and those passports and build new attractions, because while the Epcot, I think, and that's why Disney fans and general public are probably at odds most on Epcot than any other theme park, is because Disney fans know how to do Epcot just because they've grown up with it and they understand it's different. Whereas Disney day guests, just regular folks buying a ticket, just expect another Magic Kingdom. They want to go to the thrill rides. They want to go fast pass something. And that doesn't really work well with Epcot. So Epcot sort of has a split identity. Is it going to be that World's Fair it was when it opened, or is it going to be a theme park?
Not a theme park.
Cool. Shifting over left about 3,000 miles to Walt Disney World's older, smaller brother, Disneyland Resort had some, I thought it was interesting news, about two new hotels that they may be building over there in the Garden Walk area. Fanboy, what have you heard?
Well, Garden Walk is originally Point Anaheim, is sort of the bridge between the third theme park land, Strawberry Fields, and what's, I guess, the Catella cast member lot in that area, the Grand Hotel former site. And
it's going way back.
First FFC convention was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, and then they blew it up. No relation, but
the hotel net was never the same.
Fuck his convention there.
Those Disney fanatics are quite
But
honest.
There's talk that Disney will build two kinds of hotels. One is more of a boutique, upscale
couture.
Yeah, couture hotel. One is an all-star-ish value resort.
Maybe they could move the aughts through the 40s over from.
I bet it'll be more like movies.
Yeah.
They'll want a Disney.
I see it that way too, like Buzz Lightyear room and a pirate room and maybe a princess room.
That would be a pirate.
Basically, if there's a hard ticket event over it, they'll have a room. and doing those not on land owned by Disney, they'd be operated by Disney and run by Disney, but not owned by Disney in the traditional sense.
Okay, now you said the land owned by Disney. Would the hotel be owned by, would this be a Disney hotel?
It would be Disney. It would be designed by Disney, and it will be themed by Disney. Does Disney own the structure itself? Probably not, but Disney.
But it's not like Disney's putting their cast members in a Lowe's or something. This is
right.
A Disney hotel.
Absolutely.
As far as the guest is concerned, this is as Disney as any place else.
Right. Well, they're going to want to create a brand differentiation so that people, so as to not cheapen the three Disney-owned hotels. In much the same way that that All-Star Movies is not the Grand Floridian.
Okay.
But it will not – you will not go there and be like – I'm at – it's not going to be like the Nickelodeon Hotel.
Okay. And Four Seasons will not operate the Couture Hotel, will they?
No. Well, that's a dumb thing. Never mind. I'm still bitter about that whole Four Seasons
thing. Like our first 10 podcasts was all about Four Seasons. Cool. Anybody got any thoughts on two new Disney hotels? Are the hotels there that packed where they need to be added?
Yeah, it seems like right around Disneyland, it's like there's just hotels everywhere. I mean, it makes sense to, you know, for, you know, get profit for yourself out of it. So maybe get more people from staying at the other places. But I mean,
the
it is sort of strange.
The hotels, the Disney hotels are busy. And then this goes back to the whole SOAR thing. And, you know, I mean, I bet you the reason Disney is fighting so hard is they want that land for something. And yet the land Disney has, Disney owns, is too valuable to just build hotels on, as in the traditional sense, because, you know, it's good for theme park. It's good for downtown Disney expansion. They don't want to use it for a value resort or even a DVC, because if you go to DVC, then you don't even own it for 50 years or whatever. So, I mean, I know they're doing their DVC thing at the Grand, but that's a limited space, so I can see them trying to be really careful about that kind of thing.
One thing that seems a little odd, I don't know the international parks well enough, but when you go from your park to a hotel here at Walt Disney World, you're on Disney property the whole time. Disneyland, if you want to walk to your hotel through downtown Disney, you're on Disney property. Here you're going to be walking through non-Disney property to get to your Disney hotel. That seems a little...
Well, and that's why we got it.
And that seems like that'll create perhaps confusion. Is Garden Walk Disney for people?
And but it's just one of those things where Disneyland is not Disney World, and you're going to have to – people are going to just have to change their attitude. And I think Disney is very invested in Garden Walk. It's not like Garden Walk is – if Garden Walk starts to slim down, Disney will find a way to make that pristine. I mean, it's all part of the Anaheim Resort. It's all governed by that – you know, the Chamber of Commerce. They're not a third party. It's – being very grown up of Disney to say, you know what, it's okay that they go eat at the Cheese Factory at Garden Walk instead of our places. That's fine. There's enough for everyone, as long as you don't go to Garden Grove.
Well, that will be interesting, though. Just just imagine that guests, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but guests are going to feel like this is one big Disneyland resort, not one big Anaheim resort, and just how that's exactly going to play out.
I understand, and I haven't seen any drawings as to where it is, so maybe schematically it will flow better. Although, you're going to have to go through Harbor Boulevard eventually.
Well, according to the LA Times, the family hotel would be on the southern tip of the 20-acre mall near most of the restaurants, and the W type, the exclusive hotel, would be built on the northern end, which would be where they're going to be putting their nightclubs. So
okay.
I'm wondering if you put it on that southern end, to me that means it would be on the border of Catella, right? Harboring Catella.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where Garden Walk is, but it would seem to be.
And mark my words, Disney will purchase Garden Walk.
That's what I was trying to get out of you, fanboy.
But also, I mean, you know, this
really,
whole...
you think so?
I think... Interesting. Because I don't see it being successful enough that the strapped for cash investment firm that put this together is going to be able to go through with it. And the other thing we got to think about is that whole what do they call that Western Beltway development, whatever the unnamed Western Beltway development
right,
at this
here,
point.
At Disney
yeah,
World.
I mean that's the same thing. It's on Disney property, so to speak, but it's not Disney. I mean, it's a different animal,
right.
But or like Crossroads or downtown Disney hotels.
Well, but Crossroads, I mean, to me, before I knew anything about how things worked, as soon as I crossed that street there, what is that, the 535, I'm leaving Disney property.
Well, you walk under that big archway that says Walt Disney World Resort.
So Disney may own it, but
now.
I have no clue.
Now.
It wasn't always that way?
That archway wasn't there before the 25th anniversary.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, there wasn't nearly as much on the 535 back in the day either. So that's why, I mean, Disney eventually sold it because it wasn't Disney and there was no value to them. But the Disney will always have an attitude that you need to feel like you're in a Disney resort at some point, but it does not mean that they will have parts of their property that do not feel like a Disney resort or have pieces of property that are not owned by them that do feel like a Disney resort.
We shall see how that plays out. Which should open first, the Western Beltway or Garden Walk?
Well, Garden Walk's at least under construction.
Well, when's the Beltway supposed to open?
I have no idea.
2010, I think.
Because they say that the LA Times says that the hotels would be completed by late 2009 or 2010, that a portion of the shopping area is expected to open in May. I'm guessing they mean May 2008. So.
Okay. Really?
I didn't know this thing was going to have a movie theater.
That's the big controversy.
Ah, I mean, that's pretty amazing to me.
Why is that
because
you've got,
I mean,
the downtown Disney thing.
AMC wasn't, you know, when we used to go, AMC was not exactly crowded, and you had the block
right. Not
that far away.
Well, my recollection of how not well AMC seemed to be doing was that they were strongly encouraging people to come in and buy concessions. Not to see a movie, just come in,
buy
concessions,
and leave.
That's
right. They had
it
so you could go and just get popcorn and a soda, which why you would just walk into a movie theater to buy a soda or popcorn and leave.
Because I love $5 sodas.
They should have marked it down for non-movie guests. That would have been cool.
And a bowling alley, which would be much more convenient than the place we used to go. Remember we used to go over to Stanton?
Yeah,
was it Stanton?
Fountain Valley, I know we would bowl.
There was
there was one over...
That was in Anaheim, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
I don't want to say... Let me rephrase that. There was one on Ball Road?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ball Road.
Oh, maybe that's the one we used to go to.
I think we've been there, too. So if you're listening, Dave, get up.
Yeah, exactly. And there's going to be a fitness center, too, they say. I'm wondering if it's like a LA or a 24-hour fitness
or Bally's
or something.
But the other thing is just because it says that it's going to be there does not mean they have a tenant. That means they're saving place for
No, I understand. Right. I realize. The other ones they have specific names like Cheesecake Factory and
this is the place that's
going
to have that
Chang.
Theater and aquarium that never came to be.
I hope they're putting a Disney Quest in there.
Aw.
Well, you know, that's the other thing is when are they going to build something on that Disney Quest land?
Parking truck.
You know at Downtown Disney?
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Parking structure. There you go.
What? Oh. Yeah, because that's what they need over at Downtown Disney is a parking structure. Captain, tickle our
brains.
Trivia brains.
I have no idea what you mean, but hey. Okay, so O Canada. Oh, I need to actually answer the question from last time. Pirate Princess was the winner. Surprise, surprise.
Yay!
With Mount Prometheus, the volcano at Tokyo Sea, Disney Sea, is Mount Prometheus, which
Thank you,
is the home to Journey to the Center of the Earth.
And as DLTO said in the thread, all is right with the world. Pirate
all
Princess
right
got it right.
All right, so anyway, O Canada, Martin Short, for the folks sitting here at the round table.
We get to play this week.
Yay.
Name the other Epcot film Martin Short's in.
Ding.
Ding.
Doobie.
Making of Me.
Yes.
Yay.
Wasn't sure if it counted since it was closed.
Yeah.
It counts, yeah.
Okay.
It's still there.
Cool.
Actually.
Well, no, I guess not, technically.
Maybe not.
Does he answer the question? I never saw that. That's like one attraction I never saw. Does he answer the question?
Of where he came from?
Of how I was made, yeah.
Yeah. Not how you were made, how he was made.
Is it different for Canadians?
Yes. He plays his mother and his father.
What? That's kind of a hot.
He plays
his mother and his father
in a movie about how babies are made.
Yes.
This was a bad idea. That's freaky.
I never saw it. Don't look at me.
Dude, I would have come out more confused than I went in, which is hard because I'm still pretty confused about the whole process.
Well, me too. I think that's the way it was. I saw it once and I was covering my eyes.
I don't think that's quite right there.
Think
so you haven't seen it?
No.
Nope. I never saw it.
So, okay.
And Fanboy saw it once and
And I saw it, like, right before it closed, I guess.
And he doesn't play his mother and father?
No.
Good.
He may play his father. I don't remember well.
He plays somebody, because...
I think he may play the father. I could understand that one.
Okay, Fanboy, you're gonna grow up so confused.
Weird. Yeah.
Okay, what's your question for everybody else there, Captain?
All right, still on the subject of Martin Short, he played an animated character in a fairly recent animated film named The Part.
Not for you guys to answer.
Not for these people sitting
in the
room.
Only for the listeners. We've mentioned it on the podcast before, so maybe that's a...
Was the movie...
No, don't
give
anything.
Any hints.
Valiant?
No.
Okay.
Don't give any hints.
Podcast@laughingplace.com. Wrong spot. Leave your answers on the laughingplace.com discussion boards. Be the first to get it right, and we'll mention you on next week's podcast. Not that that's much of a prize, but we'll do it anyway.
We need to get some prizes. Hey, we have a DVD we can give you.
You really didn't like that, did you?
No, I didn't.
What's this now?
Oh, a new Princess DVD came out on Tuesday, so I bought it and I watched it with Fanboy.
The direct-to-video thing?
Yeah, because Cinderella 3 wasn't so bad, so I thought, you know, I haven't seen the little princess stories that they do. Let me give it a try.
And the verdict?
Well, the first story was Sleeping Beauty. You know, Aurora was cute enough. It was okay. The one with Jasmine was barely tolerable.
That's kind of you.
I mean, maybe it would work well for, you know, little girls because it involved her and a horse that needed to be broken. You know, it was like a wild stallion and only she could, you know, hopefully she can bring it back or whatever. But
okay.
But, oh, it was just not very interesting. And the music in it wasn't very good. The music in the other one was good. But this one she was singing something about not wanting to be a peacock princess or something. It was just kind of strange.
Which means she doesn't want to be on NBC.
But they did have a sneak peek of the next one with some footage of Belle singing a song that I thought was really nice. So they
What would be the count on that then? Like how many direct videos like Belle has had?
Oh, I know a lot.
I like the one with the Christmas movie with the Jewish axe.
So we asked our LaughingPlace.com podcast listeners to come up with some ideas for good special events to hold in a theme park, special ticketed event, kind of like the Pirate or Princess Party, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, Very Merry Christmas Party, and so on.
And I'll be the verdict on whether or not they're good.
And they came through. So why don't we read a couple of them? Rebecca, you got one over there?
Sure. The first one's from John, not our captain. And he says he's never been to the Pirate and Princess because he lives in Jersey, unfortunately. But he saw a video on the website. And he says if the event isn't as big as it should be, I mean, if it's not getting much attention or there isn't enough energy, maybe they could add it to the Halloween party. So instead of having the party, they could have a massive Halloween party and make, like, Adventureland celebrate pirates, Fantasyland celebrate the princesses, and then you can give other themes to Frontierland, Tomorrowland, Liberty Square, Toontown. And that way you can have your pirate and princess type event with that kind of entertainment, but as part of the bigger Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. Because, as he said, like we were talking about, you just don't have that much of an urge to dress up in the middle of August. But you do around Halloween time. So just celebrate Pirate and Princesses then.
Right. And we kind of talked about that last week. And that kind of goes hand in hand with the one we talked about last week of just theming each area. Maybe Adventureland could be the pirate section. Mm-hmm. And Fantasyland would be the princess section. And
Liberty Square would be the president section.
Exactly. So I could dress up as Richard Nixon and...
I was going to dress up as Benjamin Harrison.
I was going to dress up as Grover Cleveland and have two heads.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was good. Yeah, I think Benjamin Harrison. Wasn't he the fourth Beatle?
No, it was, that was
George
Zeppo.
You don't want to be the one who shows up as Benjamin Franklin and then, you know.
I know. He was the president, you moron.
You see, but the only thing, Benjamin Harrison was the 23rd president of the United States.
Came and read it off your computer.
Thank you, Wikipedia.
It was spelled wrong on Wikipedia. I'll change it. It's fixed. The problem with, I mean, it's a good idea, but are we going to charge twice as much if it's going to be added on to the Pirate and Princess party? There's really no need to increase the Halloween party.
Right. I agree.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I understand that.
So we had I think you have another one, Rebecca?
Well, in the thread on the topic, the idea of a Valentine's party popped up. And
ooh,
they said,
do that? What time of year would that work?
February?
Yeah,
spring?
Good idea.
Okay. Around the time that they first tried this Pirate and Princess thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have a romantic jungle cruise, maybe dinner and music on the Liberty Bell, perhaps some outdoor dining experience at the hub with the romantic backdrop of, oh, Sleeping Beauty Castle. Apparently he wants this at Disneyland.
He says the Liberty Bell.
Oh, that's true. So, just confusion.
Irish fan, are you distraught because Notre Dame got beat last weekend? Is that why you're having a little trouble formulating your post
here?
I
didn't get beat. They got jacked up.
Okay. But at least you're not from Michigan. But going on.
Okay. And then instead of parades, take that money and put it into live music in various places. So, like, you could be on Dumbo or the Carousel and be enjoying live music, romantic music there in the courtyard. And so, I mean, that sounds nice. And then other people came in and said that they, you know, liked it, saying things like, oh, well, maybe you could have It's a Small World be a tunnel of love for the evening.
you can do it.
Make some dolls.
We have Haunted Mansion for that already.
It just seems sweet.
I actually think that's a perhaps completely infeasible, non-feasible idea, but a really good idea.
Oh, totally. The thought of turning if I had magic, the big bucks,
yeah,
betcha.
I would lay down $150. I'd even bring you. I'd lay down $300.
Oh, thank
bucks.
You.
Yeah,
that's very nice of you.
But about me? We always got to do these things together.
No, for some reason, you just don't fit in.
It might not work for you. Although,
can I have three tickets to Disney's romantic evening?
Although, to be honest, I mean, that would become not necessarily an issue, but I mean, given the Disney clientele, that would become a fact.
Political environment, political issues that could ensue from such an event could be interesting, yes.
But, man, just the thought of turning the Magic Kingdom into a romantic place, a more romantic place for an evening to spend with your wife is just, that would be awesome.
It would be fun.
That's a great idea.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Maybe they can do it on a smaller scale instead of it being the entire park, just maybe a portion of the park and, you know, have a high cost. But if you're just focused on one area, then your operations aren't as high. So you could still do something like that. And it would just be, you know, just Fantasyland maybe.
And then
I was thinking just Tomorrowland because that's the most romantic land with nothing like Space Mountain to
and
get
then,
you in the mood.
And then Schnebs and the post by Schnebs and the email we got from Jeremy really made me think about this Disney Hollywood Studios name change in a different way. Can I read those and let you guys talk to you guys about what?
By all means, Rebecca.
Okay. Schnebs says, a Valentine's event is nice, but it gets cold that time of year. So let's think about...
Even better.
would you like to warm up, Rebecca?
So let's think about an event that happens a little later in the year, and that would be the Oscars.
Flag Day?
Oh. And have an awards night party at Disney's Hollywood Studios and invite the guests to dress up as a celebrity and walk the red carpet and have photo pass photographers be the paparazzi taking pictures of you as you're walking in the park, and everybody can get a complimentary mouse skirt. You know what this sounds like? This sounds like Tinseltown. Do you remember that?
Oh,
that
dude.
That project out in
Jack
Hollywood.
Jack Lindquist. Yes,
yeah.
It does. I was thinking the cruise, but definitely Tinseltown.
And then Jeremy wrote in as an extra ticket night. He'd like to see Disney's Hollywood Studios have a Muppet party. And you can dress up as your favorite Muppet or bring a puppet with you. And then Disney can also invite puppetry groups to entertain the crowds. And just kind of an evening to celebrate puppetry. Have a show or parade dedicated to the Muppets. Maybe even spoofing Disney parades. I'm thinking, remember Sea Lions Tonight at SeaWorld, where they make fun of everything throughout the day. You could do that with the Muppets, so the Muppets could make fun of the various Disney products. That would be a hoot. And then add in some historical talent, like bring Frank Oz. And you can have a whole another type of visitor come to the park, you know, the Muppet fan. And, I mean, to me, this sounds like reading this email and the post by Schnebs, I thought, you know what, Disney Hollywood Studios, a place to celebrate the movies. So you have your Star Wars weekends, but then you also have...
It's where Hollywood's our middle
name. Yeah, I know that. Okay. But you know, you have Star Wars weekends, and then at some other time during the year, you could have Muppet weekends and have, you know, this kind of thing going on. And you can have, you know, the party in the, at night where you can come in as a celebrity. But then you bring your pirate and princess party here, because you have your Pirates of the Caribbean movie, so you're celebrating the movie, which, yeah, it's an attraction, and therefore it would be a little confusing that it's not at Magic Kingdom.
And
same with princesses, they're movies. But, you know, just so kind of broaden what the studios is and make it a place to celebrate cinema.
I don't think you can mention Frank Oz without telling my favorite Frank Oz story.
I think we've already shared that.
I believe so.
I know we have.
Sorry.
Look it up.
But
yep, it was told on a previous podcast.
But the idea of
doing
a Muppet event, I think, is quite... That would be quite a phenomenon.
That would be totally
phenomenon.
That's good. Thank you.
Didn't we see that the Muppet Studios is going to be part of the new Disney Adventures itinerary out in California?
Yes.
Or, sorry, Adventures by Disney. I always call it Disney Adventures. Maybe that's why they're closing the magazine. Yeah.
Did they close?
It was because it was too confusing.
See, as much as I love the Muppets, I don't think they'd be able to draw enough people.
Oh,
you don't draw. They're puppets.
Stop.
It's not Muppet babies.
If Pirate and Princess is not, you know, getting people just by the sort of concept alone, I don't think people will be like, wow, the Muppets, I have to spend $50 and see them at a theme park. I don't think it'll be quite the same.
You know what I think they could pull off is a one-night event, not a series like Pirate and Princess, but a one-night event.
Or
almost
like Star Wars Weekends, where it's just sort of an added thing that's not like a ticketed event. That would, that would work too.
But like that one, the Muppet one sounds a lot more like an AP party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a Muppet-themed AP party, one night, that could fly.
You know what I would like is, you know, the ESPN The Weekend's coming back on Leap Weekend next year.
Yay.
It'd be nice if they would do their day stuff, and then at night, like one night of the weekend, they'd have a hard ticket, hardcore ESPN festival, and you could go have
play
like
play one-on-one with
night.
Bill Walton.
Yeah, or and listen to him talk for about 20 minutes, and have like do the fireworks
minutes?
Show.
You could cut it that short.
Do the fireworks show, or have like a real
Q&A. ESPN fireworks. Those. Rock. Do you remember those?
I remember them very well.
Best.
They were not, but they were pretty good.
No, they were so good. What is better than a sports clip accentuated by pyro?
Dude, it was cooler than the other side of the pill. Did they do the Kirk Gibson? Because like that just lends us up to fireworks.
It was a bunch of sports things. So that must
I don't even remember. It was just so over the top. All I remember is we were covered in a layer of firework ash.
We were on fuego.
We were on fire.
We can't use that anymore.
Yeah, it must be a Homer Simpson because the pitcher just said dough, which has no relation to what we're talking about. But thank you for your suggestion.
But that is the best ESPN catchphrase of all time, is it not?
You must be a Homer Simpson. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh that and back.
No. No, I wish that one would be
retired.
That and
Francis Scott off key. Oh, speaking of which, you should have heard us sing O Canada earlier.
Oh, I think I saw it. No, I don't.
That was our warm-up for the podcast. We sang O Canada. We have those little warm-up exercises.
We're like Sharpay.
Yeah. You have to get into gear.
I get that. Thanks for the suggestion. Those were awesome. Oh, man. The Muppet one, the Magic Kingdom, basically all of them were awesome.
Yeah,
I really like
much.
Those. Thank
I'd
you
pay
so
for
much.
Any of those.
Yeah, definitely. So, Disney, if you're listening, do something more productive with your time, but think about doing this.
Get back to work.
Get back to work.
Back to work. What's Disney, the home of place where janitors end up playing the drums on their break?
All right, we got a little bit of voicemail. No, that would be stupid. We got a little bit of email to read today.
We need an email song like that we can play as we introduce the reader email song.
This is the email song.
It is not very long.
So we got one from Todd Bro from Lafayette, Louisiana. Says, my name is Todd, and my father and I are going to Disney World to celebrate his 60th birthday. Happy birthday, Todd,
happy
father.
Happy birthday.
Birthdays are magical. They come but once a year.
Rah, rah, rah.
We will be there from October 20th to October 27th, and we were curious if any of you would be in the parks that week so I could meet you. We are going to Mickey's Not So Scary on the 23rd, our first time for this party. Well, Todd,
very cool.
You're going to have a great time. You have 8 days at Disney World from the looks of your email. Trust me, you don't want to spend 1 minute of it wasted meeting us, but I'll write you back. Maybe we can get together.
I'll be around.
So it's cool. His email address includes the word Star Wars Jedi Master. So that's
good, because if he was a Star Wars Sith Master, I'd
be a little weird. Yeah, we would turn the other
way. They would be like, no. That's cool. That's the second person who's wanted to meet us.
Yeah, I don't know what
you're
talking
about. Oh, yeah, by the way, we will go to the beer garden. Just
I was
going to
say, we got a.
I know.
I was a Mrs. Elder P, so I was a little leery of posting on the boards, but if you're listening and you mean that, maybe you could, like, drop a letter in one of the classified ads and we'll read it and then we can arrange something.
What is this?
Are you worried, like, somebody's going to try and take you out or
no,
something?
I'm worried that they're going to think I'm a stalker trying to get in on their dinner.
They invited us.
They invited you.
But it was one of those joking invites. You're never really sure. Do they mean it? Do
I
they not mean
saying.
It? So I don't want to, like, put myself out there, yet I don't want to pass up an invitation. So.
Right. No, that'd be fun. We're happy to come along and crash your dinner party.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if I appreciate being in parentheses.
We do, because we told him he wasn't invited.
It's always Doopy, Rebecca, and then Pimber, get the job. Always.
Yeah,
oh, you can
come,
Captain. Don't worry.
Hey.
That's right. See, we got some feedback on the board from Mrs. D.L. Theo, not to be confused with her husband, D.L. Theo.
Are they married?
I believe so, because she said, this
they have the same last name.
This is Mrs. D.L. Theo. We just listened to the most recent podcast, a weekly event at our house, now
Woo-hoo!
That we have discovered you all. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, weekly event.
Do you got any popcorn?
Oh, Happy the dog just looked up. He wants to say hi to you.
Okay. Okay. She says, I need you to settle a loving discussion between DLT and myself. And if there's one thing I've learned in marriage, don't come between a couple, no matter how kind of they
DLT.
Ask. Are there deep-fried French toast sticks near Tomorrowland and Disneyland? I am sure we had them last May. DLT says that as good as they were, they weren't deep-fried.
Wow. Where was this?
Carlos Dot.
Deep-fried French toast sticks near Tomorrowland. I mean, there's someone deep said maybe they're talking about French churros, but everyone knows what a churro is.
I know Tomorrowland Terrace used to have kind of like some breakfast snacky things, but it's been over a year since we were there. We'll have to do a little bit of legwork on this.
I don't think they do deep fried anymore, though, with the healthy food.
Well, but you'd be surprised. They still offer fish and chips everywhere, too, so you have to have oil for that.
Yeah.
You just don't use trans fat oil.
So
she's giving us homework.
Yeah. Oh, so we have to go find some deep-fried French toast sticks. Oh, life is rough.
No, but I guess I'll be able to find that out
that's right. That's right. The captain's going on field trip.
You're going to Disneyland?
In October.
So am I.
It was like since 2003, I guess, would be the last time I was there. So I haven't been there since they've done pretty much like everything. Space Mountain is different.
They have a second park now.
Okay, not quite that far. You're going a little bit crazy there, but...
Their monorails look like submarines.
They have a Tower of Terror. I guess that would be like just when I left.
Thank you for that. PodcastLaughingPlace.com, 866-718-9408. As always, we love to hear from you. Before we close, we will do our little two-step around the table this week. We'll start with Rebecca.
So earlier this week, Doobie and I stopped by Epcot and had... it was when we went to O Canada. We had early dinner at the Sunshine Seasons, one of my favorite places to eat. I got my seared tuna salad, which I always love. And I noticed that the bottles of water had a little Tinkerbell and a castle. The Dasani water bottles, the label had Tinkerbell and a castle. It reminded me of the Coca-Cola bottles that came out for Disneyland's 50th. But so I'm just wondering if this is like a special little thing, it'll go away soon, or if it's a new thing, it's just started, so it'll be fun. And I also noticed that they had new HCBs on property. And they're smaller than the old ECBs. They don't take up as much room head to toe. So that's nice.
So sounds like it took a long time.
And it sounds like it'll be more maneuverable.
Have there been issues with ECBs getting around for a long time?
Oh, yeah, totally.
They decided to make them smaller?
I'm just wondering if they'll fit on the friendship boats. I didn't get to ask that. So I saw that the weight limit on them is the same as before. So at least that remained the same. So it'll be interesting to see about that. But they look good. They're a little bit smaller, so I'm guessing you can put more of them, park when you have to park them and whatever. Because most of the ECBs that are rented there are not, people who use them all the time usually have their own. So these are more for people who just can't keep up with a full day of park going. So something new.
Cool. Captain?
Well, Pirates Beta still hasn't talked to me yet. And it's September. Get the ball rolling, people. Oh, September 19th is Talk Like a Pirate Day. Mark your calendars.
I will.
Yarr. Get your R ready.
Okay. Is there like a minimum amount of talking you have to do to qualify, or?
It's Talk Like a Pirate Day, so
all day?
Just try to work it in as much as possible.
Work the word savvy into your
savvy R matey.
Gervy.
Whatever.
Fanboy?
I want to congratulate future Disney legend Regis Philbin on 20 years of Live of Regis and Kelly. That's the way they position it, but I'm pretty sure it used to be called Live of Regis and Kathy Lee.
For a little bit it was known as Live with Regis.
Yes. And, he's a Christmas tradition in my house. He's like Santa Claus, comes by every year. So he means a lot to me, not only saving the Walt Disney Company with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, but... he's been on air for 20 years. There'll be a live retrospective, which I don't know why they have to. In the press release, it says a live one-hour retrospective, which is odd because it's a one-hour show that's called live, so I'm not quite sure what makes that special. But Kathy Lee will be there. Yes, it's live.
Okay.
I remember when you found the hidden Regis at the Christmas lights at MGM. We were looking for the hidden Mickeys, and it's like there's a billboard with Regis on it. It's like, I found the hidden Regis.
Hey, has anyone found the hidden Regis in Monsters, Inc., Mike and Sully to the Rescue?
No.
He's redressed. Yeah.
I'm thinking of that other Monsters, Inc. attraction.
Last floor?
Yeah.
No.
We went to that this week.
What a Disney week it was for us, man. We went to Magic Kingdom and saw an updated Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor with some great new animation. It was awesome. We went to...
Wait, what? Didn't I go on the same day as you and they were ventriloquists?
We went just a couple of days ago.
Okay, so apparently. It got better between a couple of days.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, you flip the switch, it gets better. It's just
the
a movie.
You would understand if you saw it, but the animation stylings are more accurate as far as, like, you know, when you actually see the motion of the characters,
like
it's better.
Yeah, like, I remember when it, like, first opened, it was very glitchy and bleh, but now it's more
so blending. It's, like, even smoother than that. Right. However, I found the sync between the dialogue and their lips to be worse.
I would agree.
Than before. But their lips are moving better.
Yes. But
they're just moving art in better sync with it. So, you know, that's to me, that's something that can be worked out. It's a lot more difficult to make things just look better. So,
same day, we went to Chef Mickey's for the very first time, had lunch there. Food was better than we expected.
Way better than I expected.
And there was a...
Chef Mickey's, has the macaroni and cheese gone better?
I didn't eat the macaroni.
I had the mac and cheese. It was Mickey
is
mac and cheese.
Better than the other place? I have to keep on, you know.
I should have brought you some, except if I say you can't take anything.
It was much better than I thought.
We saw a lot of characters too. They really got around.
And we saw them many times.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Because like I don't remember seeing a lot of characters. I remember seeing the same ones over and over.
It was all five of the Fab, and we saw them like two or three times each.
Yep.
So it was cool. I mean, it was the end of the lunch, and there were fewer and fewer people in. But still, the characters kept coming. They kept coming. Let's see.
It's weird, though, because the place keeps vibrating.
We sat right under the monorail beam, which is cool. And Fanboy is so in tune to Walt Disney World that just by the vibration, he knew which color monorail was passing overhead.
Monorail coral.
It was disturbing because he was right. We were sitting there at lunch, goes by.
Well, I could tell which Rock and Roller Coaster train you're about to get on, but there's a better trick to that than a lot of people know. They all look the same except for one key feature, and that is the license plate. So, you know, if you look at the license plate, you know exactly which one you're getting.
Loving it.
That's bizarre.
And while we were in Magic Kingdom, we were in the VMK shop, which is also known as the Main Street Cinema, and we saw a nice promo for the Disneyland Resort on the screen back there showing their latest attractions, including the Rocket Rod. So that was a nice surprise.
Parade, though, too.
Parade of the Stars. Yeah, I didn't even know that stuff had come back. Talk about retro, man.
I didn't even know those two were around at the same time.
VMK is closing at the end of the fiscal year, too, by the way.
Yeah.
And
we've heard rumors.
Okay.
And we've heard rumors about Disneyland's current parade coming here, which seems very strange.
Yeah, it does seem strange, but we heard.
But it's one of those outlandish rumors that you hear from time to time.
I heard that Jack Sparrow's pirate tutorial will be replaced with a show from Pirate Lair 2. I don't know how true that is.
Wow, that wouldn't be bad. That'd actually be quite good because that actually involved swordplay.
Oh, that'd be fun. So
magic
lots of
swords, like the
so lots of stuff going on. That's cool. Back at Chef Mickey's, I was very surprised. Mickey came by. I mean, that didn't surprise me. And I
thought he would be busy cooking, but no.
And he stopped for a photo with Fanboy, but then I was like, well, I just want a picture of you, Mickey. I don't want a picture of Fanboy.
Wait, hey.
And then Doobie showed up, and so he took a picture of me and Mickey, and then Doobie said, no, that's fine. You can go away. And Mickey was like,
come on.
And Mickey looked at me and was like, but I thought you wanted a picture of just me. And Doobie's like, no, that's fine. And I said, well, no, I really would like one. So I was very happy that Mickey remembered that I wanted a picture of just Mickey. So now I'm going to have a picture of just Mickey.
Since this whole Remy thing came along, he's getting a little bit more assertive about making sure we know who the big cheese is. Exactly.
Dude, those Remy toys at the Magic Kingdom stores were kind of creepy.
Freaky.
What, the moving ones?
You shake his nose, you squeeze his nose, and he does weird things.
Yeah, kind of creepy.
And then lastly, in our fun Disney week last night, we saw two Disney movies, one pretty good Disney movie, and the other being the Disney Princess thing we talked about earlier. But then we saw Bedknobs. Nope. Then we saw Escape to Witch Mountain, starring Ike Somebody and Kim Richards. And that was my first time seeing it. And that's a pretty cool movie. So.
It's a fun movie, huh?
It's actually quite fun. Yeah, it's a fun movie. I mean, that you know who's really underrated in the whole Disney scope of people?
Don't even.
Who we just forget the importance he played in the history of this great company.
No.
Is he a Disney legend? Is Ron Miller a Disney legend?
No, he should not be a Disney legend.
Ron Miller does not get his props, though. Ron Miller did a great job with Escape to Witch Mountain. With that, we will close this week's podcast.
You are a bad, bad man.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.
Oh, I'm going to have to listen to this for a week.
Good night, Canada.